The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. It's Ticking Stock. It's Friday, the 13th of October. Oh, John, Jerry. Oh. Do you know what? It's coming up to Halloween. My kids love Halloween. But I think there's a guy who posted a joke on Twitter about 4 years ago. And he said, this Halloween, I'm going dressed to a party as my portfolio. That's the scariest thing I can show. And I thought, thing is, you can do that every year for the last 4 years or two, 3 years anyway. That's the way it is at the moment.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Taking stock. I want you to do two things. Download the Vox app. It's the best app out there. Once you start getting RNSs by notification, you won't look back. Also, if you could, subscribe, like, and comment right there. And in fact, the first thing I want you to comment on is what I'm talking about today. Are you following the money out of UK equities? Did you see the Premier Miton thing, John?
I did. Yeah.
Well, I'll put up there, look. So these are Q4 results for the 3 months up until September the 30th from Premier Miton. This is a UK asset manager, 9.8 billion closing assets under management. And that's down from 10.5. Was that 700 million of net outflows? And they say we saw slowing of sales and acceleration of redemptions, much of it in UK and European equities in the second half of the financial year. They did say good to see inflows into our fixed income directly invested, diversified.
So that's the
way things are going at the moment. Money is flowing out. So, ladies and gentlemen, in the comments, could you just say, are you putting money into equities? Are you a contrarian investor? Because contrarians tend to outbeat the market unless you're just putting money into ridiculous stuff that no one touches. But are you a contrarian investor? Are you putting money in? Because we are close to the bottoms. We are near the bottom. It is a bottom sort of, isn't it? Sort of-ish. Or are you pulling money out of UK equities, in or out?
There should have been a third option, which is neither, which is sort of where I'm sitting at the moment. You know, I have what I've got, and I'm not selling anything, but I'm not in a hurry to buy anything either, because I just think, as I say, we're sort of going to bumble along until these outflows reverse.
Yeah, plenty of time, I think, to do some research. I mean, the thing is, my biggest holding, I didn't, until you mentioned before, I didn't regard it as a holding, so as it is cash at the moment. My second biggest holding is a fund. You know, so that's across 250 and the 100, you know, FTSE 100, 250 IUKD fund. And it's basically the top 50 highest yielding stocks in the FTSE 250 and 100 there. So it's quite lowish risk-ish, considering my biggest holding is cash. Second biggest is that fund. And then I've got a load of high risk, high reward, sexy nano caps and micro caps. In or out? Let me know. Super Mono, in baby in.
In.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? This is what I think about it. The redemptions largely are retail. Retail are late to the party, late to arrive to the party, and late to leave it as well, you know? So they have to, of course, when you get redemptions, they have to sell stocks. So it's a double-edged sword there. It's a vicious cycle. Is it vicious cycle or vicious circle?
Vicious cycle. I'm not sure about that, because there was one in these Premier Miton update. It said a single client undertook a reorganization of their portfolios, which resulted in an almost 500 million outflow.
That's not a retail fund. Yeah, no, but that could have been another sort of fund or something, couldn't it? Or something like that, you know, who are also getting redemptions. themselves. So I just think these are late to the part. This is AIM, by the way. Look at this. I've just counted. Is about the last 20 trading sessions on AIM, the AIM All Share. There's, I think, 14 down days or 15 down.
You say that there was another statement today from Ashmore, which is another big fund management group. Their shares are down quite heavily.
PMI 6%.
But they're saying that net outflows were at similar levels to the prior quarter, and that's pretty high, primarily reflecting continued institutional risk aversion. And I think they were seeing outflows in debt. But I think it's across the board. I wouldn't want to, you know, pin the blame squarely on retail. I think there's nervousness everywhere.
Yeah, there is, but isn't that a time to buy? If you go back and look at the what are
and
we
at? Blood on the streets.
Where are we at now on the old? Let's look at the old. Let me just put this up here. The fear greed index. Where are we on there? Here we are. Oh, we're at fear at the moment. It was the other day, extreme fear. And I'm sure if you plot this against when it's been extreme fear. And you, I mean, I'm not going to say go mental and go mad because it's hard to turn the bottom of the market and you'll have some fake, you know, bounces down, fake breaks up and then bounce back down lower. It's happened a lot of times. But I think, you know, what you're talking about with anything, with investing, if you're looking at a company that's good value, then you sort of edge in a little bit. I mean, I go with the trend as well. Look at the charts. I mean, that's Premier Miton. Dreadful downtrend. Like I said, most companies, we had the rally of end of last year. That's good. Look at that, right? We are coming up to that time in the market again now. This is, you know, going back November, December, generally very good months in the market. Look at that. And we've gone from sort of November 20, and it's only 2 months, but it was a rally in an otherwise downtrend. So, you know, it crossed 200-day moving average. It's going to be the 50.
I thought it was fairly obvious at that point that was, not going to last, that rally.
Did you? How did you know that?
Well, we can go back and have a listen because I would have said it at the time.
Okay. Bear with us, callers and listeners and viewers. We'll go back and look at that. But yeah, fake break. In fact, often you see that when you don't see sort of, normally a good bottom takes months to form. It doesn't happen like that, you know, and shoot up with that and everything. But there we are. Look at that. It's Premier Miton. And I did hold Ashmore when it rallied. Look at that. This chart there is Ashmore. This is emerging markets.
Yeah.
These are two companies worth keeping an eye on the chart, I believe, because when the market does turn, especially Premier Miton, who was a lot of small caps, you know, mid caps, all that stuff, they'll rally very strongly, you know. But like I said, they're down historically. These are really, really a measure across the markets, aren't they? You know, and when you see these companies moving up, breaking trend, then you can pretty much guarantee the rest of the market is because they are holding the market or investors' monies and all that stuff. And they're investing in the market. Yeah.
You had earlier in the week, you had Impax Asset Management. Yeah. That has some pretty, you know, fairly soft numbers. You've got Polar Capital, you know, which was very, very popular. A lot of its tech funds were incredibly popular.
Yeah.
Polar Capital Technology Trust, in fact, was the one. You know, they're looking pretty weak at the moment. So, you know, this is across the board. The asset management industry is in a pretty tough place. You're right. It is a sort of bellwether for broader sentiment. And yeah, there will be, you know, increasingly bargains to pick up in that space.
Well, let me ask you a question then, right? If you're going to buy a house, when was the best time to buy a house? During a housing market crash like that now? Or when they're rampantly rallying like crazy and people are just putting stupid bids on houses without even looking at them? So it's like anything, any asset. If you're going to give a decent valuation to that asset, and you say, even if it's a soft year for next year, now is a good time to buy this asset.
Buy a house when you need to buy a house. Buy a house when you need to buy a house. That's the best time to buy a house.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? If you were spare cash and you're sitting around, let's say you've sold your house and you're renting or something, and and the house price is running away from you, do you go with the crazies and just make an offer on a house you've never even seen before? Or do you just wait and think, no, this is a frothy market, it's the top of the market, it'll come back. It's like anything, isn't it? Like, when do you buy, you know, a new pair of trainers? When is the big sale on, or do you wait until, you know, a few weeks before Christmas?
You buy when you need a new pair of trainers.
No, you don't. I'll keep wearing mine. I've had a pair of trainers for like 2 years, 3 years. It's fine. They get a bit damp now again for the hole in the bottom, but wait till the sales come. You know, wait till the sales. A few comments here. In fact, let's go back to a comment from yesterday, which I didn't catch up on. Deep value investing with Shuru the Vegan Westie. That's his name. I'll go through that again. Deep value investing with Shuru the Vegan Westie. He said yesterday, I reckon Watkins Jones has bottomed out. Indeed, the market has as well. The only way for the next 3 months is up. Oh, well, let's have I'm quite bullish. Like I said, you've got to be bullish to be an investor. But let's look at Watkins Jones and I'll explain why I don't agree with you here. Watkins Jones, get the back of the class. There we are. There's Watkins Jones there. That is not bottoming out. I'm sorry. Even if you put a shorter time frame sort of moving average on here, you could say let's go to a 30-day moving average. It's not even trying to cross that. But what you need here is a couple of higher highs. You need to break at least 36 pence to start moving. So 33.5, and then, you know, moving up. But that's, to me, that's in a downtrend. Be careful. I keep saying this. If So a company you think is undervalued, be careful if you're buying into a downtrend. It can continue for a long time.
You know? Which is exactly what we see across the asset management space as well.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Someone said, what's happened with Good Energy? I do hold a bit of Good Energy. It started rallying this. Look at this chart on Good Energy, John. Look at that. So I don't know. These are the valued way below the net assets. They've got like 20 million in cash. The net asset value was 38 million. They were valued at 28 million. But as you can see, this wedge, look, what I've drawn a line there is, let me get rid of some of these moving averages. I've drawn a line on the highs, okay? And you see a series of lower highs. And now, look at that. That's just broken out by the previous lower high. And you can also see some higher lows. This now, above 200-day moving average, this, I would safely say, has hit the bottom. It's had a bit of a sell-off, and it's hit the bottom, and now this is a good sign. In fact, I don't know if you saw yesterday, they own 49.9% of ZapMap as well as doing everything else. But they've just said that they've just hit 50,000 UK chargers on their ZapMap. That's quite a lot, 50,000 UK chargers. Everyone's saying about EV chargers, you know, you can't get them all that. But 50,000 is quite a lot in the UK. And that's doubled, it's got by 10,000 in the last, since February. And it took 10,000 to do a year previously that, so it's taken 6 months to do 10,000. Anyway, so EV chargers rollout is happening very quickly. But I do like the chart of that. It's starting to play around. I did buy it the wrong time. I bought it sort of right here, but I was coming back up. But yes. Anything worth chatting about, John? I want to look through the comments.
I can't see the comments. If there's any comments,
I'll get them there. So
you can drive the comments.
Steve is in. Paddy MHBS is sitting in cash. He's just sitting there in a bath of cash. Yeah, baby.
Me too.
You and John in your cashmere, just cashmere top, nothing below. Just cashmere and cash.
it just feels like the right thing to do. But, you know, this is my personal perspective, my approach. And I'm surveying every day.
Okay.
And, you know, when things get to a certain level, I do like the asset management industry, but lots of other pressures there. But you know, they are just getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. You would have thought they couldn't get any cheaper, but they have.
Yeah. So there's one for you. L Saint says, ADF should also be due a share price rise. Right, the strike is over. No, hang on. Are you not up on the... there's some news about that, John, isn't there? There's like a bit of an argument over the pay now, isn't it? It's gone back to the table again. Have they or what?
I don't know. The share's been a bit weak a couple of days. Oh, they're sort of bouncing around.
Yeah. So the initial right, the strike was down there. But by the way, facilities by ADF... other service, they service all the sort of film on location sets. They got the old Winnie Baker's, all the makeup tents, the catering and all that stuff. But it did bounce down on that writer's strike and then bounce back up. But I think yesterday came out a bit of news that they're still haggling over terms and conditions in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it's not a done deal, but they're messing around with the finer details of the deal there.
Yeah. So, it was a very cheap share and I like the story. Yeah. When I see something that I like, and then I'll try and buy it when it's nice and cheap. And that's why.
AI investor says, putting money in regardless of the conditions, prices are cheap, will pay me back later. You're probably right. I mean, it's hard to turn the bottom, but I would wait for a bit. The reason why I'm sitting in a bit of cash there is because I do want to see the uptrend on stocks before I invest more in the stocks I have, or I look for other opportunities. Sean, portfolio absolutely decimated in the past few years. The only option for me is to do a deep, deep dive and invest a lot in something with high conviction, like you did, Justin, with Lloyds, back in the great financial crash. Okay. Be careful. Nothing's 100% cert. Nothing. It's a big risk, isn't it? So I'm doing that. But I did take a big risk. I sort of know better now. In fact, I wouldn't do that again now, because I've learned more. I realized how risky it was because I wasn't as sort of experienced. I thought, really, I'll just check it all in.
It's a gamble, isn't it? When you're forced into a position like that,
you are in
gambling territory, and it can only therefore to take that kind of risk, you can only be taking it with money that you can afford to lose.
No, I did a webinar and I said, if you are 100% in one company, that means basically you're 100% sure it's going to do well. Now, nothing is 100%. Nothing is without risk. You know, everything's got a bit of risk. So be careful if you are 100% of something. Either you're the founder of the company and you know a huge amount about it, or you're literally playing a risky game. Most followed companies. I don't know what's going on with Halfords. There was no news yet. There was notice of interim results like yesterday, but Halfords has dropped. It's most followed here. I don't know why it's dropping. Is there any news about the government banning bikes? So take your car.
No, I haven't seen any news that would explain that.
Okay, so I didn't see either. But by the way, look at that. So three states of a chart: uptrend, downtrend, or range. That there is in obviously a range. You can see that just going down there.
Oh, hang on a minute. Here we go. I missed this completely. Halfords surges on takeover speculation. So I think
that was yesterday, was it?
Yesterday. Okay. And then you might have sort of, the excitement has sort of dissipated somewhat today. So takeover.
But even that hasn't got out of that range. Look, that range, the big range, with 226. You can trade those things. You know, wait till it gets to sort of 170, 160, and it's probably in a range there. So, but it's a trading range. That's what they call it, that really. But it's not in a trend, really.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's KDNC Red Rock is most followed. What have you done on the front page, content wise?
Really quiet day today.
It is, isn't it?
Really quiet. Not a great deal of small company news out there. Lounges. This is a company I've had my eye on for a while. Since visiting one of them before I really knew that this was a listed company, and I just really liked it. I thought, this is nice. This is a good format. So they've got a couple of, three brands, one of which is newer, but Lounge, Cozy Club are their sort of main sort of bar restaurant brands. And then you've got Brightside, which is sort of roadside diners, which is a concept I also like, having spent some time in motorway service stations recently.
What for? Is that a hobby of yours or what?
No, one has to stop at a motorway service station every now and then. It's a fairly dismal experience. So I think, so addressing that, I think it's quite a good idea. But I like this company. But, it's in that travel leisure space that, we know has been under pressure.
Yeah.
And so I haven't bought the shares because I just thought, it's the wrong time in sort of the economic cycle to do that. But the numbers out today are absolutely fantastic. It's trading update for 24 weeks, the 1st of October. And sales motoring along.
Well, look at that. I quite like that chart, by the way. I mean, you can see there's a definite support level, right, at 180 odd, right? It's bounced up, come back down, bounced up. It's tried to get above that 200 day, but the 200 day is generally sloping down steeper. It's too early a bounce. It's come back down. Now you can see it's breaking above the 200 day moving average, and it's trying to break new highs here. Previous support there as well, £2, is trying to break £2. It gets above that. You can see the 200-day moving average slowly creeping upwards, which is quite nice.
So it's a fairly big company already. It's got something like 250 outlets, but it reckons it's got room for 600 in the market.
Okay.
It's obviously doing something right because sales are rising. Like I said, not just on a sort of new openings basis, but underlying sales are moving along quite nicely. Inflationary pressures are easing, and the only worries you'd have about rollout stories like this, we've talked about it before, is they're often debt funded. So they do have a fairly large amount of property debt, but it's actually well covered profits are rising too. So I like the look of this one, and it's potentially on the hit list. I like it. And I wouldn't say that about many pub groups, but they're doing something right.
And I got to say, ladies and gentlemen, if you look closely in this picture, John is in within this picture somewhere. Okay. What's that game? Like, have a strike your top spot. I can't remember.
Where's Wally?
Where's Wally? Where's Johnny? Where's Johnny? He's here somewhere.
Not there. Not there.
Okay.
There's a rock fire. So basically, they've started re-drilling at Maloy. It's an old mine that they're sort of recommencing work at in Greece.
Okay.
And they're basically drilling to firm up their resource there from inferred to
inferred to
indicated. So there's something more interesting going on at Rockfire, which is this reverse takeover of the gold trading businesses in the Middle East.
Yeah.
I think the shares might be... Are they suspended still? No, they're not.
Hang on.
No, they can't be.
15th of September. Yes, they are. Yeah, they are because that trading, if I remember rightly, that trading thing hasn't got a license yet, but they're reapplying for the license. So I think that's until it's regarded as a reverse takeover or something. I used to own Couth. Super Mono said he's bought some Couth there. I just had alerts on Couth. I just had alerts on Couth for some reason. That's quite nice, that now, because you can see there, it is still above it. You know, it's rallied strongly. They did a fundraise at £3, 10 million, a premium to their closing at 260, which was here. Very good sign. Of course, in the digital and mental health area, big contract in California. But like I said, I got it way too early. I don't know what you think. And I thought, they're going to need to raise money and it's going to be at a discount. So I thought here, it's going to go down here. In fact, they did it at a premium up here. Never limit your upside. Limit your downside. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, they did, look at this, come back a bit. And I was waiting for them to roll down. That's quite nice. But they need to sort of get it above that. But Super Monster.
Very nice. Very nice company.
Yeah, it is. Purchased some Couth this morning and topped up a few Bioventix. Aim high.
Bioventix, again, very nice company. You can't really go wrong with it. I mean, that's been a stellar performer over the years. I don't know how much bigger Bioventix can get, but it is a cracking company.
Is that Bioventix? Yeah.
Yeah, it's monoclonal sheep antibodies that are used in various parts of the life science industry. And it's all done out. I'm going to do them a disservice by calling it a shed, but it's a very small site where they can basically just make these things till the cows come home. So the operational gearing in this business is absolutely huge.
I like the fact I can't get that out of my head. They're in a shed with a couple of
people. I'm doing them a disservice. They've never really had to go down the massive expansion, flashy labs and offices route to grow this business very, very substantially.
Yeah.
Brilliant business, brilliantly run.
It's been interesting to see where this goes. I think it'll probably go up, but it's come down. You can see that it's had a big drop off, a big rally, a big rise from when was this back 2016? It's gone from like £5 up to £40. Wow. And when you get that, you have some congestion. It may need to enter a trading range for a while, I think. But who knows? We'll keep an eye on that. Do you know what's ridiculous today, right? Some of the rises here, right? The rises today on the front page. Red Rock Resources, right? It's rising 54%, obviously from an oversold position. It's a technical bounce, probably. But what they've done, right, news-wise, this is what's made them rise. Lithium samples, Zimbabwe, right? They've done 3 samples of 2 kilograms, 3 samples, and for somehow they got 4 samples back on results. How have they got 4 sample results back from 3 samples? They say potentially, but that's you could get more early stage than that. It's in Zimbabwe, which is questionable jurisdiction, but never mind. 2K samples, but it's rising. And another thing is ridiculous. First two, ridiculous, these are rising on this. Where was it? Tomco raised $100,000. $100,000?
Assuming that the liquidity is virtually nil in these shares, then.
How long will that last? That's like a CEO's, a couple of months pay for CEO, isn't it? Or if they got to, but how long will 100? You realize when you get companies raising $100,000, there's problems with the equity markets. That's desperate, isn't it? You'd think a single shareholder could put that in.
Yeah.
Is there any reason why QED is rising, Nick? Quadrise? I don't think there's direct change. No, there's not. Which has been around. Do you know what, John? I read about QED, a Quadrise, first in the Investors Chronicle when you were there. And I remember being on Turkey on holidays thinking, shall I get into this?
This
it sounds
the,
very good.
Shipping fuel, isn't it?
Yeah, shipping fuel, sort of clean. Sort of, and I thought, shall I get into this? And I remember it being like I said, it was about up here. It was about back in, it's probably around 35 pence. And I'll wait. And it came down. And I'm glad I never got in because literally. It's literally, where is it now? Where are we now? Is it below a penny?
I remember discussing this at the time.
It was one of the, I know a friend of mine, my son's friend's father, his father, has put all his pension money into it. All his pension money. I thought, really? God. Why have you done that? And it's a questionable technology. It's early stage technology. It may be amazing, but whenever you go with early stage technology, it's very high risk. I think there should be lessons taught at school about risk and reward in stocks and shares. Just basics.
For sure. They absolutely should. I mean, stock market investing should 100% be taught in schools. Investing or pensions, I'm not sure that was taught in any meaningful way at all at the moment. Yeah. Unless you have the, you know, there's the odd enthusiastic teacher here and there, but that's about it. Yeah, I do remember discussing quadrise, and I remember, I mean, it's, you know, it was a tricky one. Yeah, when you're editing the magazine, you've got to trust your writers, and you've got to trust them to have done their research, done their homework, and you know. So I rarely overruled anything that anyone wrote as an idea, because you can't, because you know what do I know that they don't?
Yeah, but it's not about that. You understand? After some, what appeals to investors sometimes is that the hope, hype, potential of a company, rather than actual. The balance sheet and cash flow statements, which is very important, you know. And like I said, there's plenty of ramped stocks out there, but if you look at their, you know, balance sheet and cash flow, they're in real problems. But it's not that. People want the promise of becoming rich.
Exciting technologies.
So they jump onto this fantasy story that could be huge, could be massive, next big thing, every big shipping container in the world is going to use their stuff. And you think, hang on a second. So that's in their head. And literally, they won't look at the balance sheet or the fact how much money they're losing. And
they had a big deal with Maersk, I think, was what got everyone very excited.
Big
shipping container. And, you know, what I will say, whilst I never overruled, I would certainly debate certain ideas, you know, very, very strongly.
I'll give you two examples, right? For example, Vesarion. I invested in Vesarion on the hope, hype, potential of graphene, right? And it was starting to become real, basically. And look at the chart of Vesarion. This is what's called, and if you go to Wikipedia, just look at the hype cycle, right, on any chart, and it's a real thing. So if you get in very early, and you're talking sub 10 million, 20 million market cap companies, you know, nanocaps, and it's a very hot industry around, and it's talked about in the next big future thing. If you get in the right stage and they've got some cash, okay, you can do that, 10 bag.
This whole situation was mental. It was horrendous. I mean, I'm not being funny. So again, this was a company we wrote about quite a lot in the Investors Chronicle. And we actually suggested selling it. You know, I would probably imagine quite near the top.
Yeah,
and we got dogs abuse. Dogs abuse.
There was a
chap on. I got threatened.
By a member
of the management of the company.
No, I did.
I got threatened. I mean, I got threatened in the most nonsensical manner altogether, with the threat of a subpoena to Houston.
I'll subpoena you.
He did. So
Mr.
Good
Human, I will take you to court.
Good luck with that, because I think what you'll need to do is extradite me, and obviously that wasn't happening.
Don't be surprised, Mr. Human, if you wake up in the FBI and knocking on your door.
Yeah, but it basically was along those lines. There was another chap who used to draw cartoons, weird cartoons, you know, talking about...
Let me just say something. There's fan stocks out there, right? When you start having people, and this happened with Vesarion, if you get in early and you have people changing their icons on social media to the logo of the company or doing cartoons about the company, it's over. The boat is over full. It's literally. And this happened there. I got in here. I did very well on them. Another one was EVRH 10 bagged, and that was virtual reality sort of goggles and counters. That 10 bagged. And like I said, I realized hot tech early on. If you're in early and they've got a bit of cash, it can really take off.
But then when
the tires hit the tarmac and they have to sort of produce some revenue because they're commercializing it, that's when you get this. Some of them will go back up, but many.
Graphene is a hot tech, but if you actually looked at what we did actually look, you know, some of the subsidiary company accounts, and they talked about graphene, but we couldn't find much evidence of there being any commercial activity around it within this business. So actually what you get, and you know, these ramp up sometimes, it's what we would have referred to as stock promotion.
Yeah.
So you've got some people who are punting it hard and I think
I was part of that though. I honestly believe it was going to take off. And I really believed in the tech. It was Bidstack, whereas now is a niche operator. Technology is very expensive to do, and it's not a big market. I thought at the time it was. I was just looking, but I got that once the hype cycle kicked in again. Let's show the. You know, there are people obsessed with Bidstack and their logos is Bidstack and all that stuff. Now, if you look at this, I literally got in here and it did like 5-6 times its money. And then, like I said, the broker forecast was like for 3.6 or either 3.6 or 5.6 million for the first year they listed it. Within 6 months, I thought, that's amazing. They came out with 36 grand. I thought, what?
Not only that,
they missed the broker forecast about 4 times on a draw. There's something wrong here. How can the brokers be so widely off from what? the companies had said they would be doing, and they're not doing it. So
there's a pattern, you know, you see with these heavily promoted stocks that some investors, you know, get rather carried away with. And there was also, you know, the whole sort of fear of missing out. So you see some big gain, and everyone wants a bit of that big gain. And, you know, it's sort of, you've just got to train yourself to sort of spot the signs. You can make a lot of money, but you've got to make sure you get out at the right time.
You've got to get the hype.
And you've got to make sure that there's liquidity to get out. And this is often what's happening. You know, there's people behind the scenes who are, you know, using the retail market as that exit liquidity.
Yeah. In fact, look at this. The hype cycle. And this is literally what's new in the hype cycle. And it's worth reading about this. And this is the way it goes. You see, you catch in early on things, but then it'll go fall off a cliff, you know. And if you're not out by this time, you know, you're in trouble. So the liquidity dries up. And then if you're lucky and they gain traction commercially, it'll go back up this way, but in a smoother, more consistent way. But a lot of them, you know, when the tires at the tarmac here on commercialization, they go flat. And they grind to a halt
on them. So, I mean, I like what established quality companies, you know, trading attractive valuations, but within sort of the what's called racier, but you know, new technologies, you can see companies that are you know, hitting that inflection point and coming through it properly with a commercial strategy and starting to deliver commercially. There's quite a few companies like that. You know, Coot, for example, is one of them.
Yeah. Quadros, for example, are they generating any revenue yet? And I don't know if they are they? I can't see their final. This is their final results. Mm. No revenue at all. So it's been years now.
It's got to be nearly a decade.
Since this technology has been floundered. And they're not generating. So to me, that's one where, you know, the high. If you're not in early enough and you're on the back end of the hype, you may not know it. You may think it's going to take off again, but you'll be sitting there for a long time. So that's why almost you use charts and things like that. And think, okay, look at that. Even on Bidstack, for example, if you use the 200-day moving average, you've got to buy like 20 pence. Where is it now? It's not even, it's 0.2 of a pence.
Wow.
So, so there we are. Okay, so that's why charts are good. Sometimes you just look at the trend and think it's not working out, the trend's not working. So Quadrise is a riser though, isn't it? it's a lot of questionable companies there today rising. Fallers, this is very interesting, right? Yesterday I was on Instagram and just flicking through reels on Instagram. And I, because of the things I follow on there, I get a lot of financial stuff is served to me. And within about 3 minutes, I had three people saying, if you bought a product by St. James Place in the last 6 months, you maybe do back some money. I thought, what? And it turns out, if you look at this thing here, was it by one of the fallers, St. James, this is from City AM, by the way, set for fees overhaul after pressure from regulators.
Wow. And I thought, a long time coming.
Yeah. I don't know about this. So they're basically charging people too much, are they, for their management or what?
That's my understanding. That's my understanding. So you've got some new regulation that's come in this year, the Consumer Duty regulation, which is basically making sure that, you know, money invested on behalf of clients gives them the best outcome. You know, this is something that Fintel, that we often talk about, has been really helping the industry get to grips with. But St. James's Place,
it's the largest wealth management.
It's huge. It's a £4.5 billion company. It's, it was double the size of that. If you look at the chart, the shares have come off enormously. And I guess, you know, you sort of go back to that that point about asset management and flows as well. So they've been hit by that, but there are some issues that hang around this group. It's underperforming funds. You know, it has its own badge funds. Which have been underperforming quite substantially. A very odd fee structure, particularly if you want to move your money away from it.
Yeah.
I know a couple of people who are doing it at the moment. It's proving extremely difficult for them to move their money and expensive. So, you know, there have been some very well researched criticisms of St. James's Place's approach in some, you know, very, very, you know, prestigious trade mags over the years. All you have to do is look it up. It feels like a reckoning that's been coming for a while.
Yeah. And the thing is, these things tend to happen the worst times to the company, because if everyone's making money up here, right? If the markets are up and everyone's making money, people don't look at the fees so much. They're just making money. They just look at their portfolio's gone up, or it's flying, whatever. But when you start to struggle, think, why am I losing so much money there? People start a deep dive on the costs And then all of a sudden, they're overcharging maybe, whatever. And that's the, like I said, when the market falls out something, sometimes it almost falls. The acceleration gathers pace because you get all these things come out the woodwork. And so you not only get a bad environment, the market, the global sell-off, but you've also got these bad news coming out on top of bad news. And so it accelerates, almost goes exponential fall there.
Yeah. It could really substantially affect their profit profile.
Yeah. Okay. As far as in Turkey, it's one of the most read. Pin over well. They say, look at this. The wording on these is alien to me almost. The Aladdin Middle East. The Pinrover One operator has advised that the resumption of testing operations in the Gömlek-Hoyak sequence, utilizing larger and more powerful 7-inch perforating guns. 7-inch perforating guns capable of fully penetrating the well. That's going to be happening soon anyway. So that's running on expectations of that. I don't know if it's running, but UK oil and gas for a long time has also been one of the stocks that people loved. And look at that. It's, I've seen people ramping that for a long time. In fact, once you get a rise at that, you find people think, oh, there we go. But then it's not really, performed as expected. Like I said, it's really gone down.
Yeah.
Anything else?
The other rise that caught my eye, I don't know if it's actually, I don't think you can see Avon Protection.
Where is that?
Number six.
Look on the left.
On the most red. Number six on the most red. Okay. Yeah, so this Avon Protection, we've talked about it before because they do sort of rubber products. Used to do milking equipment, now they do gas masks and helmets. And they got themselves in a bit of trouble with a very unsuccessful acquisition, which is now, I think it's either been sold or certainly the sale is almost done. But it's going to take time for this recovery to happen. But today is the glimmer of hope that, this company can return to the greatness that it once occupied in the minds of investors. So still doing really well. It's gas mask business and head protection. There's a lot of encouraging signs there. So basically helmets,
especially for hobbyists.
Yeah.
I went to a friend's flat once, right? I don't know if he was a friend. He was an odd guy. He was a friend of a friend. He was a writer for something. And he lived in, I think it was King's Road in Chelsea. And we went in there, and he was a bit odd anyway. But he had this mannequin dressed up literally in a full gimp suit with a gas mask on.
Of course. As you do.
It's always, when you go to some people's houses, you think they're odd, and it confirms that they're more odd than you think. Oh, my word. Okay, Michael says, I've been topping up on my iShares dividend fund. Yeah, okay. Risk-off, that's good. I got that as well. I pulled out a little from the US when I sold most of my Vulcan materials, and it's gone into UK equities. Invested a bit in Spotify after a sell-off of 3 months, as Michael here. Following on from a comment I made last week from Metrobank, umbrella came in useful this morning. Yeah, the Metrobank umbrella. Here we are. That's probably the best investment you've made there. It's probably the best thing you get from them. USD needs to crack for emerging and Ashmore to perform. Yeah, the dollar strength is strong.
Emerging markets. I mean, this is the age old relationship between US dollar strength and weakness in emerging markets. But I think a lot has changed in the world. And I was speaking to a couple of fund managers who target emerging markets recently, and they said to me, basically, there is the old attitudes towards emerging markets that they were, inherently more risky, inherently, poorer governance. And I don't think that holds true anymore. They have been far less susceptible to the effects of inflation. You've still got very, very fast economic growth there. And actually some of the governance issues that used to dog emerging markets are sort of dissipating. So I am interested in emerging markets. If I'm going to deploy, that's where I'm kind of looking. I kind of draw towards India.
Yeah, well, in fact, they're not in China, Ashmore. They're pretty much around the emerging markets around the world. But obviously, they're driven by China. A lot of them are, of Chinese economy. And there's some data here getting less worse from China. We'll cover it in a little bit. Just go through the rest of the comments. Be careful when others are greedy, go against the trend. Yeah, same as be greedy. Sean, I understand what you guys are saying about risk, but don't worry, it's all in a vector, so it's safe. Sean, listen, fella, if I can advise, I'm not saying a vector won't do it. I'm not saying that a vector won't, play out to how you see it playing. I'm not saying it will, but it's just question. On any stock you hold, let's say you have your biggest stock, right? You should always say, if this stock went bankrupt, I'm not talking about a vector, just generally your biggest holding, if it went bankrupt, how would my portfolio fare? You know, just think of that, because it on any stock, it can happen. Now, so I would suggest you put like 50% in a fund, and maybe if you want to be high risk, 50% active, but 100%, you've got to be, it's dipping down a bit. It didn't, now, on a chart there, we've got you would like to have broken this. I don't know what's happening here. His seller's coming in maybe, but it's looking good though. I mean, it may have to go sideways up again there, but it's looking good. But Sean, I'm just saying, I hope it plays out for you, but be careful, fella. You know, you never know what could happen. Left field things could happen. You never know. I've been a bit bearish about this, you know, it's an awful situation, but this war, I don't see how there won't be some contagion in some way. I was walking the dog the other day, and I went through this bearish moment where I thought, I'm a bit worried here. But you never know. Hal puts up yesterday on bid rumors. Yes, Chris, probably a bit of a novice question, but who does selling and driving down share price benefit? Presuming that it wouldn't be happening were it not of benefit to someone somewhere. Well, I always say short seller sometimes. See that I genuinely, you've got to be very good as a short seller. Be good at it because, like I said, with shares that go up, you know, the potential upside is unlimited. Downside, it's maximum 100% you can get. Usually nowhere near as good as that. So the good short sellers are well rehearsed. Some of them, though, these days, you know, capitalize on worry and fears in the market. And there's, for example, a good example was Atlantic Lithium recently. You know, their big shareholder, one of the biggest shareholders, you know, was a short selling note on them. And it's rubbish short selling note, but it did dip the price for a little bit. So yeah, people are holding going short. It can be for two reasons, but some short sellers genuinely think a company's overvalued, don't they? And so they'll go short it, you know. So
yeah, well, you've got to have a buyer for when you've got a seller. You know, there's always somebody on the other side of a trade. So
yeah,
you know, the value is not necessarily always crystallised immediately. If I buy a share in something for £1 a day and wait 2 years and then it's £2, I'm the one that's done well from the selling. Ultimately. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, in a sense, you know, the money just evaporates. It's evaporating. That's what it's doing.
Yeah.
The value is evaporating.
Yeah. Gregory says, I'm either a bit mad or others can't see the potential of Oxford Biodynamics. I know what you're saying, but think of worst case scenarios there. Now, having a test that sort of plays out and actually commercializing it can take a long time. It can. And, you know, have they got enough money to get there? And looking at their, you know, cash burn history, will they need to raise money in the future? I mean, that may be a stumbling block for them somewhere. I'm not saying they won't do it because they'll raise money, but maybe that's what people are worried about, or there may be others in the market doing it. It's loads of different potholes you may not see, you know? So even though it may be a no-brainer to you, nothing's a no-brainer. Honestly, the investment is, that's why you should never put 100% in one company. Nothing's about risk. So let's have a look at, what's the chart like in Oxford Biodynamics? But it's a great product.
Well, it's just bounce, isn't it? I mean, it is a great product. There is definitely massive potential there. As I said, I'm just waiting to see forecasts. I can't get them out of the system that I use, but there must be some forecasts in the market.
Listen, so I'll give you an example of Plarium, right? Plarium's got one of the best techs in the world for looking at lungs and you know, gas exchange. It can pick up long COVID. Nothing else can. No other tech in the market can do that, right? It was 100 peer-reviewed papers on Plarium. Oxford University using it. All the biggest universities are using it. Now, let's look at the chart of Plarium, okay? I understand it's a more capital-intensive model they have there, but literally that went to £1.10, and where is it now? I still believe sooner or later it could do very, very well. But am I jumping in here? No, I'm not, because it's not an uptrend. They've got sort of worries about funding as well. So you can get this, you know, commercialization execution risk, you know, where the technology can be good, but actually commercializing it and you've got, you know, an industry there needing to adopt it takes a long time sometimes. That can cost money and time. And all of a sudden, you know, if they need to raise money, unless you get selling coming in. So be careful there. It's a huge potential. But the commercialization, what are you saying?
Oxford Biodynamics.
Yeah.
Want to be the right company? Yes, I am. Biggest shareholder is a fund called Volpes Life Sciences.
Okay.
And Volpes Life Sciences, yeah, I thought I recognised that name. They, I think, are also the biggest shareholders in Scancell and Proteome Sciences.
Okay.
So, I'm going to do a little bit of digging.
Is someone trying to break into your house, John?
I told you, there's a...
there's some work break on in. The Tell outside. It's a burglar.
Yeah. This is okay. They're a good outfit. I said, Gregory, that's a good sign.
Gregory says, it's easy, this share game. Why complicated? Just buy low, sell high. Because if you buy low, if you buy low, you can go lower. Hence why we bang about trends all the time. James on Upland Resources, SP looking exciting with some big buys coming into what should be a news-rich period. Okay, India. My Jupiter Fund India has performed beautifully since COVID. I know companies change names to get over past disaster, but which plonker chose Mobico to replace National Express? I know. Mobico does seem like a bit of a really small operation in the sub-macro sector, didn't it?
Yeah, you remember that? My favourite ever had to have been Royal Mail.
It does, I know. It's spot on. Okay. So, it sounds like a place where you get a dodgy unlocked iPhone. Mobico, it does. It's literally one of those places.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So, Upland, quickly, on the chart here, Upland Resources, share screen. Yeah, no, look at that. It's broken out previous high. That's a nice looking thing there. So, that's a nice chart. It's nice to see it's continued up. That's quite good. And quickly on, where's the news here? Is it a bit of news here? So, look at this. Let me share this with you. A surge in natural gas prices and uptick in US core inflation are two signals that could prompt the Bank of England into another rate hike before the end of the year. And they said they're pausing for good or not. They didn't, with the Fed, they didn't say they may have to raise again.
Yeah, inflation is being a little bit stickier than everyone thought out there.
Okay. Look at this, though. China's narrowing trade slump boosts recovery prospects, but challenges persist. So they did have outbound shipments in September declined by 6.2% from a year ago, following a drop of 8.8%. So not as bad as August, maybe slowing down. But there's increasing evidence that the cyclical upturn in global electronics sector is driving a bottoming out of the global trade in China's trade data, is the latest sign. So you can see there, the bottom was here, went up and down. And in fact, look at this, though. So he did say he's looking rosier, basically. This is gives reason for optimism about a rosier trade picture in 2024. But look at this. Chinese shipments to Russia rose 21%. So those two are doing a dirty deal. There we are. No one else will trade with them.
China is still a massively important part of the global supply chain. But the reason I'm interested in places like India and Vietnam is because a lot of high-tech manufacturing is moving. Being supplemented, not necessarily moving.
Let's have a look at Spotify, because someone said they just bought some Spotify. That's not a bad chart. That's the break there. You can see a nice-looking chart there. You can see it. This is a good-looking chart to look at recovery look. Down here, breaking down, say, oh, let's buy here. It's in a rally. Oh, no, it's going back down. Oh, it's going down. And then you can see here, a double bottom, high and low there, breaking 200, breaking previous highs as well, which for us here. And then we've gone from there. We're gapped down there for some reason. Have you seen that Spotify AI stuff? That's very good.
No. So they use Spotify.
They can translate us into Chinese, Japanese, Spanish.
Oh, you mentioned that, yeah.
And it'll sound like us, which I don't know if it, I think, I don't really have mass appeal that, to be honest. anything else? Any plans for the weekend, John?
Going to Wales, actually, next week. I meant to say, I'm not here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What? You're on your own. Yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention that. I'm off to Wales.
If anyone wants to jump in, if anyone's got a cashmere top, they can jump in. And
yeah, go for it.
Are you going for the weather? Well,
that's right.
Okay, all right. And don't forget, hit that subscribe, like, share button, please, and download the VoxMags app. Honestly, once you start using the RNS features there, just follow a company on there, you get an RNS via notification. It's given to you. Don't forget looking for it to a website. We send it to you via notification. Once you start using that, you'll never go back. Honestly, it's free. Download it. And thank you very much for tuning in. Have a nice weekend, everyone. Come on, Wales. And who's England playing? Fiji? Yeah, Wales are playing Argentina. Ooh, a big game. Have a nice weekend. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.